your name, O Lord. You are the holy God.
Yes, holy and righteous is your name.
Holy and righteous is your name, O Lord. You are the holy God.
Oh, mighty, mighty and righteous.
Holy and righteous is your name, O Lord. You are the holy God.
Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Ooh, we praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Oh, praise the Lord, everyone. Thank you, Lord. Put your hands together for Jesus. Would you do that? Do you love him? He's certainly worthy of all of our praise. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. And see these people come down here that have been born again in the kingdom, some adults and then some smaller ones, and then Grant came down here. How old is he? 3 years old. Receive the Holy Ghost. Isn't that great? Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Like years ago, Brother O'Neill told me about his daughter received the Holy Ghost, I think at 3, wasn't she? 4? Just turned 4. While we're talking about this, I give Pastor Roy the information concerning new converts, and then we found out during the break that we had 2 more people receive the Holy Ghost today, so we're actually at 271. All right, isn't that great? Praise God. And today, does anybody know what the number of days this is of the year? 299 days. And we've had 271, so we're only 28 behind, one a day. But isn't it good to praise God? It's so great. It's so great. And since we've been keeping track like this, and we've been setting goals, we've had over 4,000, almost 4,500 people are born into the kingdom. And I really thank the Lord for that. Praise God, praise God. We are so privileged to have with us Brother and Sister Lehman. Brother Lehman pioneered the church in Wausau. He was in Wausau while Sister Grant and I were in Shawano. Brother Blackshear was in Clintonville. Brother Jim Merrick was in Green Bay. And Brother our brother was in Marvin Curry, Brother Curry. Brother Curry then went to headquarters and later became the publishing house manager. Brother Lehman went to work in the Foreign Missions Division as promotional director. Brother Blackshear went to Alaska and became superintendent. Brother Merrick went to Minnesota and became district superintendent. And I stayed here. I didn't stay in Shawano, but I moved here and became superintendent. So we kept in contact with each other, because we had one thing in common, that is we all had to go to headquarters every spring. And so down through the years, we have remained very good friends to Brother and Sister Lehman. And one thing about Brother Lehman, he's a man of great character. If he tells you something, it's right. It's right. He always does this. So would all of you stand at this time as we welcome our evangelist, our missionary, our friend, Brother John Lehman to the pulpit. Give him a warm Madison welcome.
Thank you very much.
Boy, I forgot Brother Curry.
That's understandable.
Well, praise the Lord, everyone. God is so good. God is. You know what? I failed to mention about my wife this morning, but I have a wife. and she's with me. She travels with me and takes good care of me. I mentioned I've been a diabetic for 54 years, but that lady knows how to cook and what not to cook. So I am alive today because of that lady. She's been a blessing to me, and I love her very much. We have a son that's in the ministry. We have a daughter that's in St. Louis, lives 15 minutes from us. So God has blessed our family richly. I have 12 nephews that are United Pentecostal preachers. So 12. And more on the way. I have a grandson that's a preacher. So God has been so very good. Now here we are on a Sunday night, and I preached on faith promise this morning, and I'm going to touch on it again tonight. But I want to mention this. This faith promise commitment is your total missions giving. Now, in other words, some thought, well, maybe this is in, you know, a little more addition to what I'm already giving. But this is your total monthly giving. So keep that in mind, because faith promise will bless any church. I don't care how small or how large. In fact, when we were starting the church in Wausau, when I left, I believe we were supporting about 6 or 7 foreign missionaries at that time. And the church was just getting started, but I believed in it then. I still believe in it. I know it works, because headquarters has calculated that it costs $300 a year to win a soul overseas. Now, if you're wanting to win a soul a year, that would be a $25 commitment. A $50 commitment would be 2 souls a year. A $75 would be 3 souls. $100, 4. And, you know, however burdened you feel, however many people you want to win to the Lord, not only here, but, you know, overseas in various countries. We may never know who we win to the Lord, but just as long as we win someone, that's really what counts. And faith promise is where it's between you and the Lord. Now, if you want to know a little more about faith promise, read 2 Corinthians chapters 8 and 9. A lot of information in there about the Macedonian church sending support to the Jerusalem church. And all of this incorporates in the work of God. And so the more we get involved, the greater the blessing is. And so I'm just so glad to be here. And your pastor and I, Brother John Grant, we've been friends since way back. And still are, very much. And then the son coming along, following Dad's. I've wondered many times, if I had stayed in Lancaster, Ohio, and then my son had followed me, I thought, boy, that would have been great. But that wasn't the will of God. So I'm here, and he's not here. But I want to call your attention tonight to the book of Hebrews. Before you're seated, just let me read a couple scriptures. Hebrews chapter 11, and I want to read verses 1 and 6. And my subject tonight is this: looking at the subject of faith in a faith promise service. They kind of go together. Looking at the subject of faith in a faith promise service. Hebrews 11, 1 reads like this: Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You may be seated. Now, the 11th chapter of Hebrews is loaded with the subject of faith. It talks about ordinary people who discovered the secret of faith being in operation. Now, this book, this chapter, this 11th chapter, it throbs with excitement and life. It is full of just ordinary people who accomplish great things for God because of their faith in the Lord. Now, they were not perfect people, but had discovered how to trust in the promises of God's word and saw amazing results. They had often failed. You know, sometimes even today, if we have a problem and maybe fail, well, that's not the end. There were those in Hebrews 11, and I'll mention several of them, that failed, but yet they did not give up. Some of them got in painful detours and had to be disciplined by God. But all of them reached their goal successfully and accomplished what God wanted them to do. For the most part, people named in Hebrews 11 were just ordinary people who accomplished great things for God. For example, look at Gideon, who was a frightened farmer when God called him. Moses was a fugitive from justice. Jephthah was an illegitimate son unwanted by his family. Now, there are a number of past histories in nearly all of these men, but the excitement comes in reading that they did not give up, but continued their steps of faith. That's really what counts. Just continuing. Now, there were individuals who doggedly pursued after the answer they needed and received it. They did not give up. What is the definition of faith that the writer of Hebrews 11 is talking about? Well, faith is obeying what the Lord impresses you to do in spite of your state of mind, your conditions, or the consequences. Your faith says, I believe the direction the Lord is leading me is what is the direction that I'm going to go. In Hebrews chapter 11, there are many examples of where men heard from the Lord as to what they were to do, and when they obeyed, they received their answer. And I even think that applies in faith promise. I mentioned this morning that God does give us direction. Now, He may not speak to you in an audible voice as to what He wants to channel through you. But you see, faith promise is when I say, Lord, what do you want to channel through me on a monthly basis, so that I can help send this gospel around the world? Because the Great Commission was, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. So as we give our funds, we are going into all the world. We may not go in person, but we do go in purse. And they do go together. They do go together. Now Hebrews 11:6 tells us that we can't please God until we have faith. Because it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for he that cometh to God must believe that He is, or that He exists. That He exists. And, God takes care of His people. God takes care of His people. And that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Now, look at how the Lord warned Noah that he was to build an ark when it had never rained. That is a step of faith, folks. It had never rained. And God told him to build an ark to the saving of his family from the devastating flood that was coming. Now, he did not argue with God, but built the ark for the saving of his family. Now, he no doubt was laughed at for years by the onlookers who watched and mocked for the fact that he obeyed God and they were building that ark. Can you imagine what it would be like if God asked you to build an ark when it had never rained? Well, I'm sure there would have been a few doubts here and there. Look at even Abraham. Abraham's neighbors thought he was crazy for leaving for an unknown land at the age of 75. And he took his wife and headed for an unknown land. The Lord may even speak to a pastor in the day and hour in which we live to go and start. In fact, it's happening even at the General Conference. There was an appeal made for more pastors for home missionary churches. Well, there's times when a pastor in a fair-sized church, he will leave that and go because he already knows God took care of me here, and I believe he will take care of me there. There is no doubt. Now, the presence of faith in the heart is the guarantee that we will receive what he has promised to give us. Faith works on the inner man. You might feel that you had a hunch as to what you would do, but that hunch is the Spirit of God speaking to us in this day and hour in which we live. Now, I know in my own life, there's one time that I really felt God speak. I felt it very forcibly. But there's been many other times when I didn't hear a voice, but yet I responded because I felt, God, this is your will. Even when I went to start the church in Warsaw, I have to admit, I was afraid of starting a home missionary church. I just didn't know if I had the material to do it. But I knew it was God. I needed a job. And I'd been working for Sears in Lancaster, Ohio, where I was working with assisting a pastor there. But I felt, God, now, if I'm to go to Warsaw, I'm asking you that when I go there and visit the city, I'm going to go visit Sears. And if it's your will for me to come, that I will be able to get a transfer. Well, we went to Warsaw, and I went down to Sears the following morning, and I walked up on the second floor, which was the furniture and floor covering department, and that's what I had been working on in Lancaster, and I met a salesman up there, and he introduced himself, and we started talking back and forth, and then he spoke up and said, he said, I'm only just filling in here. I'm getting ready to leave. When he said that, I thought, they're going to need a replacement. And a few minutes, the manager of the store walked up the steps, and this salesman called the manager over. I hadn't asked him to do that. I was just talking with the man. Called the manager over, and he left. The salesman left. I talked a short time there to the manager, and I said I'm just wondering if there's a possibility that I might get a transfer here from Lancaster, Ohio. Talked to him a few minutes there. He said, come on back to my office. I walked back to his office, and from the time I walked in Sears' front door, I was going back out in 30 minutes with a job. He didn't know me from Adam. He didn't know me at all. But God knew me, and it was God's will that I go to Warsaw and start a church. But, you know, steps like that increases your faith for greater things. And when I recall, we were in Warsaw for a total of 5.5 years. But about 4.5 years after I was there working for Sears, God impressed me that I was to go full time. Well, the church wasn't big enough to support me. And I began to pray about it. And I thought, well, now, if I'm to go full time, you know, my faith wasn't very strong at that time. I said, maybe they'll let me go part time. I went to the manager, and I said, I'm just wondering if I might be able to go part-time here with Sears. And, you know, I can spend more time with the church. He said, well, let me contact Chicago. That was the head office. And he said, I'll get back with you. And a few days later, he talked with me. He said, Chicago said no. Said, anybody that's working full-time cannot go part-time. I thought, that's crazy. But that was their decision. But I got my answer. God said, I want you to go full time. Well, a little later in that year, I turned in my resignation. I was going to go full time. I didn't know how we were going to survive. Of course, at that time, Sears had a profit sharing program, and I had about $2,500 in that. And I thought, well, I'll go full time and I'll try to live off of that $2,500. When I turned in my resignation, roughly 2 weeks later, I got a call from Ohio, the church that I had left, going to Wisconsin. I wasn't pastor then. I was only assisting there. When I went to Wausau, I was going back. I got a call from Lancaster. Brother Lehman, would you come back? I want you to come back and take the church. Well, I got a call. When I got the call from Lancaster about wanting to know would I come back, I hung up the phone and I told my wife, I said, you pray while I pack. I felt it that strong. I just reversed. I'm sorry. I said, you pack while I pray. You see, step by step, whenever we are willing to step out as God directs, He always confirms it. In fact, I went back to Lancaster. I was there 5 years. And when I went back, the year before I went back, the yearly average was 199. I left 5 years later, averaging 464 in 5 years. God confirmed that He was in it. Whenever we're willing to step out, and can I say, even in faith, promise, giving. There's something about our finances. When we will bring God into the picture. When we bring, even your tithing. Now, if you're not paying tithes, I'm not your pastor, but I've got enough Bible on this. If you're not paying tithes, you're not ready for the rapture. It's just that simple. Because giving is a part of living. Just take a deep breath and hold it. Do not exhale. Just hold it. Now try to take another deep breath. You can't. You can't. It takes inhale and exhale to stay alive. And it works the same way spiritually. You've got to be willing to work and give for the work of God so that others can be reached with the message. You've got to tithe, folks. I didn't come here to preach. I didn't even think about that I would even mention that. But maybe somebody here, maybe you haven't started tithing. You need to, because that is the joy of living when you bring God into the finances of your house, into the finances of your life. Now, for example, let me just mention a testimony or two on faith promise. I was in Humble, Texas a year ago, January. In fact, I went there the weekend following because of the times in Alexandria. And I presented Faith Promise. It was their first time to hear about Faith Promise. I preached it that Sunday morning and Sunday night. But there was a young man on the platform that had a guitar. And he said, as I was preaching, God spoke to him that he was to give his guitar to an overseas field. And so after church, he handed me his guitar. And I ended up giving it to one of our regional directors. He took it to Costa Rica and was giving it there to one of the pastors. But I want to mention, the brother that gave me the guitar happened to be the pastor's son. And when the pastor's wife found out that her son had given his guitar to the foreign field, she said, Brother Lehman, now he might let his car be dirty, but he said, that guitar, it really meant a lot to him. And she was shocked. But I want to show you something. That young man, his wife had been looking for work for months. 2 days after he gave his guitar, she got a very good job. Now, another testimony in the same service. There was a man in the service in his early 70s. He was struggling with leukemia. And he had been to the doctor for a total of 7 years, and every year it just seemed to be getting worse and worse and worse. He made his commitment that Sunday night in that service. 2 days later, he went to the doctor, and the doctor said, you are clear of leukemia. The story's not over. 1 year later. We were there last January. We were there a year ago January, and then this past January. That man received from the Leukemia Association a check for $2,000, and they don't know why. I told the pastor, I said, I think I can tell you why. I think the Leukemia Association said, look what our treatment has done. This man is clear. But no. But God rewarded that. His first step of faith was this. And God met it. And the next year, he made it again. And just about a month later is when he got the $2,000 from the Leukemia Association. You can't give to God and him not reward you. God will do amazing things if we will just let him. Now, as we read the Word of God and see the direction that God's men took after the Lord gave them direction, it is exciting. It is exciting just to see the results of what happened. Consider when Moses was not afraid of the Egyptian army because God had told him he would safely deliver the Hebrews from Egypt, and it was granted. Then look at Joshua, who was not embarrassed to march around the city of Jericho for 7 days because God had told him he would conquer the city, and he did. Daniel and the three Hebrew children had inner feelings of security with the Lord when Daniel was cast into the den of lions and the three Hebrew children was cast into the fiery furnace. God took care of them. You see, Daniel and the three Hebrew children had inner feelings of security with Almighty God. Now, they had a consistent walk with God before they were cast into the den of lions and the fiery furnace. God watches our faithfulness to him. You know, true faith is never found alone. It is always accompanied by expectation. Faith is not alone. There is expectation with it. The man who believes the promises of God expects to see them fulfilled. Where there is no expectation, there is no faith. There is no faith. Now, faith involves our emotions. Faith is the will to obey whatever the Lord speaks for us to do. The inner man may wonder just how it will all turn out, but past experience can tell us everything is going to work out all right. Because I mentioned the scripture this morning, Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not unto thine own understanding, but in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. You see, when we study the lives of the great men and women of faith, we can discover that often when they obeyed God, everything seemed to go haywire. For example, Abraham arrived in the promised land only to walk into a famine. Moses and his brother Aaron confronted Pharaoh only to be delivered out and then to have their own people turn against them. Israel departed from Egypt only to face an impassable sea and was followed by an angry army. Now let me give you some faith promise testimonies along that line. There is I was in a conference in Silsbee, Texas. I mentioned this at our dinner table today. In Silsbee, Texas. And there was a couple in that service. They made a $200 a month commitment. He was with the oil rigs there in the Gulf. And they made a $200 a month commitment. And his company, right after that service, his company wanted to transfer him to another area. Well, he checked, and the area they wanted to transfer him to had no church. And so he went to his pastor, who was a former missionary, Brother John Bryan. Went to Brother Bryan and told Brother Bryan, he said, Brother Bryan, they want to transfer me to this city. He said, but there's no church there. And so Brother Bryan told him, he said, well, I really don't think you should go. As a result of that, he lost his job. Good paying job. But within weeks, he got a new job paying 2.5 times what his old job paid. Now, I was back the following year, and that couple, after the Sunday morning service, they met me right down front and told me the story. They said, Brother Lehman, and told me what happened. He had lost his job, but he got a new job. And he came and he said, God's already talked to us this year about our commitment. He said it's to be 2.5 times what it was last year. That would be a $500 a month commitment. Now, a few weeks later, I talked to the pastor. And I told Brother, I said, Brother Brian, I said, what about that family that they lost his job because he was on the oil rigs and he ended up getting a new job? I said, were they able to pay their $500 a month commitment? Brother Lehman, he said they were able to do that and more. Why? They obeyed God. They obeyed the Lord. Their step of faith. You see, when you step out by faith and God does the miraculous, that's when it gets exciting. It gets very exciting. Now, I also pastored two different families when I was pastoring in Ohio. We had Faith Promise. And just about 2 weeks after that, an elderly lady, a widow lady, came to me and she said, Brother Lehman, she said, I lost my job. Since I made, she said, it doesn't look like I'm going to be able to make my Faith Promise commitment. I said, well, Sister Bush, I said, it isn't time for the offering yet. I said, why don't we just see what God will do? Before the offering time came around, she had a better job than she had before. Another man in the church, he made his commitment and lost his job. Well, he came to me and said, Brother Lehman, he said, I lost my job. I said, Mike, I said, well, why don't we just pray about it? Let's just see what God will do. I said, I believe God will give you a better job. Just a few days later, he was back and he said, Brother Lehman, I got a better job. And he was excited. A few days later, he was back. And he lost that job because they wanted him to lie on his job. And he said, I'm not going to lie. And so he lost that job, came back again. I said, Mike, I feel like God has a better job for you. And he came back in a few days, and sure enough, he had the best job he had ever had. Why? They were faithful to God, and God was faithful to them. That's exactly what will happen. You know, we have a friend. In fact, Brother, it mentioned about Brother Marvin Curry. He started the church, or no, he pastored in Stevens Point, and then eventually went to headquarters. Well, his son, he and his wife were in a Faith Promise service there in St. Louis, and he thought he was going to get a raise on the job, and when he was thinking about his commitment, he thought, now, I think I know what my raise is going to be, and so I'm going to make my commitment for that amount. So he made his commitment for that amount. And the first month, he was able to pay it, but there was no raise. The second month, he was able to pay it, but there was no raise. The third month, he got his raise, but it was 5 times greater than what he thought it was going to be. Faithfulness to God pays off, folks. Faithfulness to God, you just can't beat it. The scripture says that the trying of your faith worketh patience. When our faith is tried and we see the victory, our faith is much stronger for the next tour, for the next test. There's just something about the Lord. Notice what I already read in Hebrews 11:6. Notice what it has to say about faith. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. Now, let me just get your attention here on something. If you feel you lack faith, start out slow. Abraham wasn't asked by God to sacrifice his son in the beginning. But he first asked him to leave home, not knowing where he was going. Now, what about others? Peter was not asked to walk on the water first. But his first request was to move his boat out into the deep water. In other words, when some start out with a big step of faith and don't succeed, they lose faith. So it is best to start out small and let your faith build. James speaks on faith and says that faith without works is dead. Past failures. Past failure does not limit the Lord using you, even as a backslider. Some feel they have served God and then they go back out and they think, oh, God would never take me back in. Listen, there's a number of illustrations in the scripture. And let me just mention a few of them here. Noah got drunk one day and God still used him. Abraham lied twice about his wife and the Lord still used him. Isaac also lied about his wife and the Lord used him. Sarah laughed at God's promise and then lied about it and was still used of the Lord. Moses lost his temper and was still the leader the Lord wanted him to be. David committed adultery and tried to hide his sin and found repentance. Psalms 51:10 says, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Joshua made a quick decision because he didn't ask the Lord's guidance. But none of these failures are mentioned in chapter 11. Read chapter 11. You don't find the failures there. Any past failure is not a handicap. So we must not use it as an excuse to not do what the Lord is leading us to do, even in a faith promise commitment. Maybe some of you here tonight, maybe you've made past faith promise commitments, and maybe you weren't able to keep it. Well, don't let that destroy your next step of faith. Let God Almighty use you in a greater way. Even if you have failed in your past faith promise, don't let the enemy destroy your step of faith this day. Let God bless you. You know, Gideon was faithful. Gideon, by faith, was transformed from a frightened farmer into a victorious general. There are many others in this chapter of 11 that are not named, but they kept faith in God even unto death. When you are using faith, there are times when we will have problems that can weaken our faith if we let it. But that is not what faith is all about. The scripture tells us that the trying of your faith worketh patience. Notice the following example. Any face the problem of staying clean in a defiled world, and faith enabled him to do it. Noah had to stand against the ridicule of his neighbors, while Moses had to fight the opposition of the government. Daniel faced a den full of lions. The three Hebrew children were thrown into an intense fiery furnace and walked out alive. The furnace was so hot, it killed the men that threw them in. I don't know if you've ever read that in the scripture, but it's there. Please note that the Lord doesn't always work the same way in all of our lives. Notice, there are times when he delivers us from the problems. There are times when he delivers us through the problems. There are times when you may not be delivered at all, but your reward will be in heaven. Daniel was delivered from the lion's den, but others who had just as much faith were thrown into the lions and slain. James was arrested and beheaded, while Peter was arrested and then miraculously delivered from prison. Whatever you may face, there is a God who is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we are able to ask or even think. Take a look at faith and realize faith sees the invisible, believes the incredible, and rewards with the impossible. God's will is for us to live by faith at all times. You might be thinking of all the bad habits you need to break and all the good ones you need to make. This is where faith comes in. You can say, I don't know how I'm going to do it, Lord, but I'm expecting your help. Now, with God, all things are possible. When you receive the Holy Ghost, then is when the Lord helps you at all times. Now, just make a beginning and keep going after it day after day. Be encouraged. Be encouraged by any progress you make. Refuse to be discouraged by how far you think you have to go. God is pleased that you have started a beginning, but you may need to go just a little bit farther. Obey as the Lord makes his will known in your life, even in this service. Even in this service. We were in a church in Louisiana a year ago, January. And after that, I received an amazing testimony from a family in that church. It's almost unbelievable. But what happened? And the lady in the church wrote this. She says, "My husband worked at least all last year and brought home less than $17,000 for the year. I say that only to bring this to the fact: it's not about having money to give; it's all about giving money that you don't have." I believe that when the lady gave her two mites, she didn't have money in savings, nor did she have extra money to give. It was all that she had. That, to me, is a true concept of faith promise. Making a promise to give from your faith in Almighty God. My husband gets paid every 2 weeks, and since we live 30 minutes from the nearest supermarket, Walmart, I plan my shopping when he gets paid every 2 weeks. As always, I remove God's money first, then the bills. Unfortunately, at any rate, we were $70 short on our grocery money, not including money we needed for gas for our car. So I sat down with my grocery list and began to cross things off that we didn't need at that particular time, such as toothpaste that wasn't completely empty yet, the things that we could survive without for the next 2 weeks. I crossed off, trying to make up the $70 difference. All the while, I was praying that God would help us get the things we really needed at that time. I was able to get my list down to $130 exactly. That is what I had. After my husband got off work, we went to the store to do our shopping. Then the story begins. She said, we walked in. She said, I walked toward the grocery area. My husband and our son went toward the toy area because there was something in the toy area that he wanted. So my son, this is the husband and son went in the toy area, and as they were looking over the toys, he saw a lady down the aisle in one of the electric carts. And she was trying to reach up on the shelf to get one of the toys. And he said, he walked down to her and said, ma'am, can I help you here? She said, yes, there's a toy up there that I want. He said, when I handed it to her, she put it in the tray. And then she held out her hand as if to thank me for getting it for her, and slipped some money in my hand, and she was gone. He said, I looked and I thought, well, that's a $10 bill. He said, I started walking away to put the $10 bill in my purse, and I opened it up, and it was a $100 bill. He said, she must have made a mistake. He said, my son and I, we started circling that store for the next 20 minutes, and we could not find that lady in that electric cart. Then he called his wife. He said, you won't believe what just happened. And he related the story to her. And when they got together, they were so excited and happy, because both of them, they began to realize what all had developed and what happened. They felt a divine answer that lady in that electric cart was an angel, and God Almighty gave that family the $100 they needed. For example, she said, we got the grocery list down to $130. They needed $30 for the groceries, but she said, we also needed gas. God gave them the $30 for the, or $70 for the gas, or $30 for the groceries and $30 for gas. God answered their prayer. But she started out. She said, listen, we're not a wealthy family. You know, $17,000 for the year with a family, that's not much money. That's not much money. But when you trust God, when you look to the Lord, God Almighty will answer. God will answer. I close with this. I heard the late Brother George Glass speaking to our missionaries a few years ago, and he related the following story. I don't know if this happened in a city where he was pastoring or just exactly where it happened. It was down south, either in Louisiana, Arkansas, or Louisiana, Texas. But he related, he said, about a man that was awakened in the middle of the night. God spoke to the man and said, go out on the back porch and sing, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. In the middle of the night, he said, I put those covers up over my head. I didn't want to go out in the middle of the night. He said, but under those covers, I could not get away. Go out on the back porch and sing, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. So he said, he finally flipped the covers back, and he walked out on the back porch and went outside and sang, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood, and then came back in and went back to bed. Early the next morning, there was a knock at the door, the back door, where he had sang. He walked over and opened the door, and it was a neighbor. The neighbor looked at him and said, you know, he said, in the middle of the night, he said, you went out on the back porch and sang, and the neighbor remembered the song. He said, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. And that saint of God nodded his head, yes. But the neighbor said, when you walked out on the back porch and sang that song, he said, I was next door in our bathroom. I had a gun to my head. I was ready to commit suicide until I heard you sing. I couldn't do it. When God speaks, it's time to respond. And it's time to respond with a positive answer. And I challenge everyone here tonight. I challenge you, let the Lord give you direction in helping to reach a lost world. That's exactly what this money is for. It is to send our missionaries with the saving gospel, just like it goes off of this pulpit. Repent, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. It takes that to get to heaven. I thought I'd hear a few more amens on that. It takes that to get to heaven. So give God a chance and see what he'll do. Your life could be changed.
What we're going to be doing next here is some of you had turned your pledge cards into the offering, and they'll be getting those totals up here to me. We have Sister Jessica's back there in the back. She's going to be preparing the overhead. Just something I'm not trying to add. Brother Lehman did a superb job, but while they're getting these things together here, I believe here at Calvary Gospel Church, we support, I believe, 99 foreign missions every month, foreign missionaries. I know we have some 70 out on the wall right now, but we're short of the picture frames to put them in, and we're going to be finishing that up within the next few weeks. But we also support a good number of state home missions. We support Brother Putnam. We support our camp. A lot of our home missionaries in the state, I think there's 8 or 10 of those that we support. Then we have our local missions. We have the River Food Pantry that we support every month. We have Porch Light that we support, WCRN we support every month. Then we have 14 different preaching points across Dane County, church plants. His ambassadors this morning teamed up with AIM International, African International. They had 77. They had a couple congregations of Nepalese people that were there and worshiped with them. We support them every month, assist them. We have Revival Ridge, which is running 50 plus people on Monday nights. We'll be starting in January a Sunday afternoon service in the Boys and Girls Club in that area. We have Park Street, Sisters Loving Sisters. We've recently rented a building on Park Street. Sister Darlene Burrell, you see the ladies down here in pink all the time. I believe that we're going to be turning Park Street into a 24-hour, 7-day-a-week outreach point right in the central part of Madison. And praying for all of this and praying about all of this, I just said, Lord, there's so many different needs that we have. Our foreign missions giving this year has been, we've struggled all year with our foreign missions giving. I began to pray and I said, Lord, we have this building that we want to build. And when I was preaching this series on the harvest, God just impressed upon me so strong that it's our job to take care of the harvest. It's our job to get out into the field of labor and bring forth the fruit of the harvest. But He is the Lord of the harvest. And He reminded me that you take care of the harvest and I'll take care of a building. You see, the building isn't an issue for me, but I need you in the field. And this monies that we're raising here tonight, this is sending our foreign missionaries into the field of labor. But it also affects our local outreach, because the more we give as a church, it applies as a principle in your life. I started to talk about this a little bit about when I left business, and I started a business and God bless my business, and my income went up 10 times what it was before. I know how to get a blessing from God. But then there came a time when God says, are you willing to give that all up? And I was faced with the decision to turn away what God had blessed for 5 years. I remember talking with my wife and I said, I have to do this, because this is what God has called me to do. It wasn't a tough decision. It wasn't a tough wrestle with it for weeks. I knew this was what God wanted me to do. But my checkbook, there was a big void. But you know what? Every month in the last 15 years now, I've never been late. I've never been short. Never been behind. God has always, always, always come through. So if you have your pledge cards here that you were to fill out, I'm going to start reading these off, and Sister Jessica's in the back, and we're going to celebrate what God is doing here. So many times we look at, it's important, yes, salvation. We have some baptisms lined up here in a few minutes. But I'm going to start reading these off, and if you could bring your totals up front, and our musicians can just, you can just sing quietly in the background there. Are you ready, Sister Jessica? We have $50 a month pledge. We have a $50 a month pledge. We have a monthly pledge of $322.50. Monthly pledge of $100, a monthly pledge of $25, monthly pledge of $1, monthly pledge of $50, monthly pledge of $25, monthly pledge of $25, $50 a month, $25 a month, $5 a month, $25 a month, $5 a month, $140 a month, $100 a month, $50 a month, $25 a month, $150 a month, $15 a month, $1 a month, $100 a month, $30 a week, so that'd be $120 a month, $20 a month, $2 a month, $100 a month, $25 a month, $50 a month, $500 a month, $50 a month, $30 a month, $50 a month, $5 a month, $25 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month, $10 a month, $100 a month, $200 a month, $100 a month, $25 a month, $100 a month, $5 a month, $25 a month, $100 a month, $41.67 a month, $10 a month, $50 a month, $50 a month, $25 a month, $40. That would be a one-time total. Yes. Let's skip that. We'll come to that to the end. Brother Noah, thank you. $25 a month. $35 a month. $30 a month. $25 a month. $50 a month. $1 a month. $25 a month. $200 a month. $600 a month. $50 a month. $75 a month. $200 a month. 25% of commissions. $50 a month. $20 a month. $10 a month. $10 a month. $150 a month. $50 a month. $40 a month. $5 a month. $100 a month. Let's stop right now. Let's just take a praise break. Lord. Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. $20 a month. $25 a month. $10 a month. $10 a month. $50 a month. $25 a month. $1. That would be $4 a month. $50 a month. $10 a month. $100 a month. $10 a month. $25 a month.
From a quest for truth to those who see.
$20 a month.
From the soaring wind.
$10 a month.
To the shattered dream.
$50 a month.
From the broken to those who
$1 a month.
We cry.
$25 a month.
We still
$25 a month.
$10
a month. $100 a month.
Faithfulness is our reward. We still believe.
$10 a month.
We still believe.
$200 a month.
$300
a month.
We will confess you.
$50 a month.
God, we still believe.
$50 a month.
We still believe.
$120 a month.
$135
per month.
$60
a month.
We still believe.
$50.
We still believe.
$200 a month.
Oh, the journey has been.
$25 a
we
month.
We will confess your goodness.
$100 a month.
We still believe.
What is that per total up per year, Sister Jessica? Because you have a number of one-time offerings here.
And
that's $83,030.04. Thank you, Lord. We have a one-time offering that you can add to this now. $7,000.
We will confess your goodness, God. We still believe.
We have a one-time offering of $1,500. One-time offering of $2,000. One-time offering of $40. We're at $93,570.04. Sorry, we have another $100 a month, so there'd be $1,200 to that I missed here. The Sisters Loving Sisters, I know we weren't going to make these are anonymous, but they have bake sales that they have out in the vestibule to raise funds for their ministry. And for the next year, they're going to donate all of the monies from their bake sales. God is going to bless that. Every one of these, all the way down to some of the children, they gave $1 a month. God is going to bless that. God is going to bless that. Some of you, let's go ahead and stand to our feet. We have a number of people that want to get baptized tonight. You can go ahead and head back to the baptismal area if you're going to be baptized. We're going to open up this altar tonight. We say, well, I didn't quite expect a fundraising type service tonight. But without funds, we wouldn't have a building here. There wouldn't be a way to pay the lights. You wouldn't have a place to attend church. It requires funds. But I think the ultimate price we can give in our money, we can give in our time, Jesus Christ gave in His blood. As Brother Lehman said, nothing but the blood. We sang this song earlier, what can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. We're not doing this for ourselves, we're doing this for Him. It's His kingdom. If you're here tonight, you've never received the baptism of the Holy Ghost. We had two get the Holy Ghost this morning. If you're here tonight and you need a healing, I think we've demonstrated tonight you can give your way into a healing. I believe that. I want to open up this altar area for you to come up. If you need a healing, you can come up on this side of the altar. We have altar workers. If our altar workers could come, we will be able to, we'll pray for you that God would heal your body. If you've never repented of your sins, you've never been baptized in the name of Jesus, you've never received the gift of the Holy Ghost, we have altar workers that will instruct you. You saw all of our new birth certificates that were given out tonight. Those are all new members born into the kingdom of God. And maybe perhaps you've just struggled in your life and you seem to be going through this vicious cycle over and over and over again and you can't break that cycle. I would encourage you to come down here tonight and allow God to break that cycle in your life. So as the praise team sings, we begin to prepare for our baptisms. This altar is open now, open. Come on down and get what you need from God. Thank you so much for your giving tonight. Thank you, Brother and Sister Lehman, for coming. It's been a real honor and a privilege. God bless you.
From the comforted to those who grieve, and from the mountain top to the empty cup, from the waiting to those who have received, we cry. We still believe, we still surrender.